Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
An Odyssey Station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Hanging out with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Final hour for us. Still tons to get to. Joe Patrick going to join us in about 20 minutes to talk some Braves. The AMA at 1:40 to wrap the show up. What's trending just a couple minutes from right now. Sam Crenshaw filling in for Randy yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that's 2 days worth of woos.
How about that?
And here's the thing about that. I was thinking about it a little bit more yesterday on the way home. Like, what happens when Randy's here on Tuesday? Randy's not listening to the show right now. Like, let's just be clear about this. Yeah. Randy's not down in Aruba or wherever the hell he is, some fancy beach with his family, listening to the show. He's not listening to us on the Odyssey app.
No.
So Randy doesn't know that Sam wooed. The only way he's going to know is if one of you people out there decides to go dry snitching behind our backs and let him know.
See?
You don't have to do it. It can be our secret. We could just enjoy Sam's woo together. Today, tomorrow, and yesterday.
Can really
Randy
be
never
secret?
Has to be the wiser.
Can it really be a secret?
It could be.
Okay.
He would never know. He would come on Tuesday and say, oh, did Sam do the woo? And we'd all just kind of look at each other sheepishly and go, I don't think so. I don't remember. And then everyone out there could also be quiet and not tweet at him. And then we'd be fine. But somebody's going to. There's going to be somebody out there. There's always,
well, you know what, though?
It
could happen, though, because we got a long holiday weekend. A lot of time for people to do stuff.
Twitter snitch guy doesn't forget. Three day weekend's not long enough for Twitter snitch guy. He's probably telling him, right? He's probably in his DMs right now. Hey, Randy, guess what? Guess what Andy did? Whatever, man.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
Anyway, it's all right, though. I'm not worried about it. I'm not mad.
The thing is, I'm not
scared about Randy Tuesday.
I think Randy would appreciate not knowing more and would prefer a non-snitch, right? Like,
yes.
He would just want to know himself.
Exactly.
Like, we're asking this, but I also think Randy would prefer people not to snitch.
If there's one thing Randy does not like, well, there's many things that Randy does not like.
There's a lot of things he doesn't like.
But of the many things that Randy does not like, a snitch is one of them, okay? So just know that if you're going to be that person to dive in there and let him know, Randy doesn't like you. He's probably happy to know the information that you're giving him, but he doesn't like how you're getting him the information. It's just one of the many things that Randy does not like. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to what's trending here to kick off the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatments for joint pain.
You know, we just got to keep playing good baseball. I mean, and, you know, just take care of our business. That's the only thing we can control, and hopefully we just continue on. We've developed some consistency here in our game, and you know, guys are picking each other up. And like I say, just in the bullpen, they've been spreading that thing around and doing an unbelievable job.
Yeah, that's Brian Snitker last night, giving credit to every other part of the team and sort of diverting attention away from the question. But the question was, you guys are tracking the Mets down. They're only three-game lead right now in the NL East. And Snit says what is true. The Braves have found some consistency. 21-5 in the month of June. If they win tonight, that's the most wins ever in a single month for the Atlanta Braves. And that's going, you know, they showed the graphic on TV last night. The times they've had 21, it was like 98, 2000, and 2002. Like those great, that great run of Braves teams. that's the type of history you have a chance to make tonight, is to have a better month than those teams even had. The Mets did something last night for the first time all year that the Braves have yet to do this year, which is lose three games in a row. The Mets are on a three-game losing streak right now. The Braves have not lost three games in a row all season long. Before the 14-game win streak, the Braves hadn't won three games in a row all season long anymore either, but they've done that now a couple times. So the Mets are, you know, they're not falling apart. They're still 47 and 29, but they're coming back down to earth. And here's why. Like, be honest about this. They're not as good as they were playing. they were playing significantly better baseball than they were capable of at the beginning of the season.
Right.
The Braves were playing not as good of baseball as they were capable of at the beginning of the season. Now, I don't know that the Braves are a 22-5 winning percentage over the course of 100 games. Like, I think that'd be historic. But I think the Braves are a lot more what we've seen in June than what we saw in April and May. And I don't expect the Braves. They're not going to go 22-5 in July, probably. Maybe they will, probably not. But I don't expect them to come crashing back down to earth the way that other teams probably would.
I don't think so either. I think this team what we're seeing is what we're going to get from this team. Hopefully, maybe not to this magnitude that we've gotten this month of June, but I think we're going to see some consistent wins. And, you know, as Bobby Cox would always say, we want to take two out of three. You play people, take two out of three. It's what you want to do. Mets, by the way, got the they lost the last two games to Houston. They got the Texas Rangers coming up for the next three games. And then Cincinnati, of course, those are the guys that we're going to see next.
Texas is not horrible. They're not good. 36-38.
No.
Man, what a bad division that is.
It really is.
It's crazy. Especially the Angels. Like, it blows my mind. Every night you watch SportsCenter and you see Shohei Ohtani does this for the first time since, you know, Slim Willie McGee in 1917.
Oh, Slim Willie?
Yeah. Nobody's had that record since Iron Legs Johnson.
Yeah.
And then Mike Trout's hitting three bombs every night and they lose.
And they lose.
9-6.
Ohtani is on an even exceptional pace for him at the moment. His last four starts, he's a .34 ERA. He's got a 21 2/3 scoreless inning streak.
Does he really?
Currently.
Good.
Yeah, he's
God.
Like, he's even ramped it up into a different like atmosphere for him. And they're still losing.
And they lose games.
Yeah, Trout's showing to his pitcher that he's tipping his pitches. And, oh, man, it's a hot mess. Manager fired. You want those guys to be in a better situation.
I do.
Both of them.
I do. Like, I just don't understand how that team can't be in a better situation. The amount of money they spend. And I don't know if that maybe bringing Joe Maddon was the answer. Obviously, it wasn't. They fired him. Like, I would love to see those guys, as great as they are, in the postseason. Like, that's when legends are really made, in the postseason in Major League Baseball. And Trout's played one series. They got swept. Obviously, Ohtani's never played in the postseason before. I'd love to see it at some point.
I'm trying to figure out how the fans digest that. You know, you got this character on the team. You got this guy supposed to be the best player in the game. And you got this other guy, you know, that's a great sideshow. It's great amusement.
Yeah.
But if I'm a fan, I want my team in the playoffs.
You know what's interesting? I've never met an Angels fan in my life. I met a lot of Dodger fans. I've spent quite a bit of time in L.A. in my younger days.
Not in Orange County.
I never met a single.
Not in Orange County.
I didn't go to Orange. I almost went to college in Orange County.
Yep.
Yeah. Didn't meet any Angels fans when I was visiting Chapman University, that I recall.
Yeah, because you know some Padres fans.
Sure, I know some Padres fans. Yeah.
And then
I know a lot of Giants fans.
Now that you're saying
fans,
that, I don't think I know one.
I've never met an Angels fan, and I've never met a Texas A&M football fan.
Oh, I know.
No, not true. I met a guy on vacation when we were in
I know some. I know some real diehard A&M fans.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. One note on the Angels as it pertains to the Braves. The Angels are in town coming up later in July, so if you want to go see Ohtani and, like, who knows how long he's going to do this.
That's true.
And be Babe Ruth and not have another Tommy John or whatever, they're in town Friday, July 22nd through Sunday, July 24th, so you should hop on those tickets if you want to try to grab those.
Yeah, good call. The Mets and the Braves play each other just a couple weeks from now as well. We said it last hour, 11 games between now and when the Braves square off. Will the Braves track the Mets down by then? Pretty reasonable to think that they will. I mean, they've cut a 10.5-game lead down to 3 in less than a month. 3-game lead can very easily be erased in 11 games. And if they're able to be in first place by the time they play the Mets and can put a little distance between them before the All-Star break, that'd be demoralizing for those guys.
I would even enjoy going into the series just one game down and taking the lead from them right there and just never giving it back again.
That's even more diabolical.
That's like a knife twist. I hate Mets fans.
Yeah.
I despise them.
I know.
They're the worst.
Very clear you've made
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so it's anything we can make it more miserable for them makes it enjoyable for me.
Did you see that there's, I guess, some of the Barstool guys are Mets fans, and they were watching the game last night just going through it? Like, if you want to... If 21-5 isn't enjoyable enough for you as a Braves fan, yeah, the potential of sweeping the Phillies tonight, just add a little layer of icing to your cake. Go on Twitter and find the Barstool Mets guys having a meltdown last night. Sal Licata, too. Sal Licata on Twitter, the Met guy, declared the division over last month. He was on there whining about the bullpen last night. I guess the division's not over. I don't know.
No.
I guess baseball seasons don't end in May. Weird.
They're complaining about the Mets in that clip, too, and then the other part is that they're like, the Braves never lose. They never lose. They're, like, giving them credit a little bit. It's pretty funny.
Welcome to hell, Mets fans.
There you go.
All right. What else do we need to say? Ian Anderson on the mound tonight. Aaron Nola for the Phillies. Going for the sweep. Love to see Ian Anderson put together a nice start. I mean, he's, of all the starters the Braves have, kind of feels everybody's going in the right direction right now. Cool to see Ian Anderson join that crew, because if he does... You got five. Like, I genuinely get excited when Max Fried is like, cool, Max Fried start tonight. Oh, cool, Spencer Strider start tonight. Yeah. Oh, good, Charlie Morton's coming around. Looking forward to see what he does tonight. Obviously, Kyle Wright last night, phenomenal again. Nice to add Ian Anderson to that list if he's able to throw one out there. And Ronald Acuna will be with the team tonight, too. Don't know if he's going to be in the starting lineup. Probably won't be, but we'll talk a bit more Braves with Smoke and Joe Patrick coming up 10 minutes from right now. Here's Nate McMillan, Hawks head coach, from a couple of months ago, right after the season ended, talking about, you know, if Trey's going to work on something this offseason, here's maybe something he could focus on.
He will. I mean, because each year, you know, players like that who their ability to score, they will see more defenses. And
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What he has to learn is play off the ball. You know, allow DeLon or Kevin to bring the ball up, and we have plays for him to, or for us to run with him off the ball. So, and he did it more this season than he did last year.
Yeah, or DeJounte.
How about that?
Who obviously wasn't on the team at the time, but is now. The Hawks made the trade last night for DeJounte Murray. Danilo Gallinari and 4 first-round draft picks headed to San Antonio. All-star point guard, 25-year-old. Really good contract. DeJounte Murray headed to Atlanta to be backcourt mates with Trey. Very exciting stuff. The interesting question is, you know, Trey can play off the ball. It's he hasn't played very much off the ball. What does Trey look like when he's off the ball more? I mean, I don't have any reason to think that it won't be great. I just can't wait to see it.
Yep. It's something he has to work on, just like, you know, Nate McMillan just said. And it's probably something that he has really made this offseason to work with finally, when he gets a chance to get together with Murray and they get to work out together,
yeah,
that's something you really look forward to then. But until that happens, I'm sure he is working on being moved, just moving around. And obviously, he saw a great example of it with Steph Curry during the NBA Finals.
Yep.
He's become a master of that, and that's something he aspires to naturally. So we'll see what happens. He knows he's got a new backcourt mate that can make it all happen for him. He puts in the work, and he's never seen like a guy that shied away from putting in the work. You know, he does that to make himself ready.
That's probably a number one thing you could say about Trae Young is he's a basketball junkie. Like, he's going to be in the gym working on it. Hopefully, it's working on some of that stuff. We saw a number Trae related from last season, 48% three-point shooter catch and shoot. So, didn't get a lot of opportunities. I think only one a game, or maybe a little more than average, one a game. But a 50% shooter catch and shoot, okay, DeJounte's got the ball in his hands more often. Maybe Trae gets three or four catch and shoot threes per game. That's awesome. That's a place where he really excels. The next question now is, what do they do moving forward? What's the free agency look like? Starts tonight at 6 p.m. for the Hawks. Is there another trade in the offing for the Hawks? Maybe John Collins or someone? This is John Hollinger and a couple other NBA insiders talking about P.J. Tucker. Atlanta, Minnesota, Brooklyn, Chicago, and Philadelphia all expected to compete for P.J. Tucker in free agency. If the Hawks were going to go down that road, they'd have to trade somebody or offer him the full mid-level exception. It's just salary cap stuff to make it work. But they're at least in the P.J. Tucker business.
Yeah.
And we like that.
We do like that because he brings that element that we talk about this team has been missing. The tough guy, the guy who goes out to get in between somebody else's ears on the other team and kind of defuse them, melt them down and frustrate them, get them in foul trouble, get some technicals call. And so it'd be nice to have that element.
Plus, he's been there, too, the last couple of years. I mean, he was a champion 2 years ago with Milwaukee. He was with the Heat this year, made that run with them. Like, I don't know how much that's worth, but it's worth something.
It is.
The fact that he's been through the battles in the playoffs as well. Hey, Atlanta United tonight, New York Red Bulls, pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8. Hopefully they can get Red Bulls are always tough for Atlanta United.
Always, always.
Looking to see Joseph and Araujo and all these guys, all the offensive guys, go up there and score some goals because I think that's what it's going to take right now to be competitive in MLS for them, given what they're dealing with defensively. All right, Smokin' Joe Patrick's going to join us next. Find out what he's thinking about Braves-Phillies tonight. Get your AMA questions at 1:40 as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from the AMA here on a Trillville Thursday. Sam Crenshaw filling in for Randy McMichael. So get your questions in. Any question, any topic, you can text us. You can tweet us. Or you could call us, 404-741-0929. Only one phone call yesterday. We've been 3, 4, 5 phone calls a day pretty much for a couple weeks straight.
Okay.
We'll get back on the horse today. Speaking of horses, pretty nice picture of Beyonce on social media currently.
Oh, my
goodness. Just word to the PSA.
Wow.
You're out there searching Twitter for stuff, just Beyonce on a horse.
Just do that. That's
check it out. If you're looking for other forms of entertainment, dive into the history and culture of baseball's unofficial rulebook with Unwritten, a new podcast hosted by former players Ron Darling and Jimmy Rollins. Unwritten looks at all the secret and not-so-secret guidelines that big league players follow while playing the game. Ron and Jimmy give you a player's perspective on bat flips, beanballs, brawls, and more. The Unwritten podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get to Smokin' Joe Patrick.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Smokin' Joe Patrick every single Monday and Thursday at 1:20 here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy to talk some Braves. And it's been a lot of positive stuff lately, Joe. Seems like every time we're talking, there's some sort of winning streak. 21-5 in the month of June, chance to make it a franchise record. 22 wins tonight. You think you're getting the sense on social media Mets fans and media are getting a little worried about what the Braves are doing here?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And, it's, you know, what's funny about it is it's not like the Mets have been terrible or anything, but I think that they're just starting to feel that tension that typically comes this time of year for them when their lead starts to trim down, even though, again, like I said, mainly been because the Braves have been on absolute fire and they've just kind of been normal. But it's always good. I mean, I think that that's where the Braves really have an advantage here, is they're the team that has the confidence that they can and should win this division, and the Mets are the ones who have to try to break that duck. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds from here. I don't think the Mets are going to capitulate like they did last year. I think they've just got too much in the tank on that roster, especially with players coming back. But, you know, on the Braves side, it's like they win 21 games this month, and it's kind of been ho-hum, you know? I mean, obviously they went through the 14-game winning streak, but, you know, these games, it just kind of feels routine now at this point that they're going to be winning, you know, more often than not when they go out there and play a game. So it's all kind of good news on that front.
Big part of it is Michael Harris getting called up. They're 22-8 since he gets called up. Where, I mean, if you had to put your or point your finger, give one thing credit to in this run, in this month of play, what is a number one in terms of why they've been playing like this?
I mean, I think that you just hit it with Michael Harris. And I'll be honest, I thought that Michael Harris would make an impact on this team. I didn't realize how how extensive the ramifications of bringing him up are going to be. And I think that really bringing up a guy like Michael Harris has helped out so many players. I mean, and Kyle Wright has talked about how it helps make, you know, pitchers more confident when you've got a glove like that out in center field who can track down hard hit balls in the outfield. So I think it helps the pitching staff in that regard. I also think it has helped guys like Adam Duvall, who have then finally gotten a chance to kind of sit down and relax and reset themselves. And we've seen a different kind of Adam Duvall over this period of time. So I think that he's obviously been a huge impact. And, you know, I think that Brian Snicker has been really smart with not trying to mess around with him whatsoever. Just let him hit the bottom of the order. I know that that frustrates people because his numbers have been quite good and not really numbers that you would expect to be at the bottom of that lineup. But I really think it set the expectations very low for him. And he's put together really good at bats. Of course, you have to kind of throw guys like Anthony Swanson out there who have been incredible during this month of June. Obviously, he's been a big component of this team, but I really don't think that you get this run of games that they've gone through without getting Michael Harris in this lineup to kind of solidify that outfield that had been such a pressure point and struggle for them for the first 6 weeks of the season.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline today with Joe Patrick, smoking Joe Patrick, and he is social. Find him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. JAPatrick200. Ronald Acuna missed the first two games of this series in Philadelphia. He is joining the team today. What do you do with him today? Do you put him out there and start him? You know if he shows up, he wants to play. And maybe you have to protect him from himself. What role can we look for him in tonight?
Yeah, I'm not expecting him to play today. I could be wrong about that. He very well might play. I think the more realistic option for him is to just be on the bench. And if, you know, if they need that bat late in the game, then that's something he could definitely do, I would think, especially if he's joining the team today. I would think that the foot is healthy enough for him to go through an at bat. I'm sure he's been through some of those drills thanks to some of the treatment that he's gotten over these past couple of days. So that's really good news for the Braves. I was a little bit worried about how soon he'd be able to come back from that bruise. I mean, obviously the scans came back clean for him, which was great, but the fact that he was saying that he couldn't put any weight on it at all, Sunday, didn't seem good. But I mean, obviously he's made a pretty rapid improvement here over the past couple of days. So I would be worried. Like, I wouldn't be worried, but I wouldn't want to stress that foot at all. Especially if he's flying up today. But I think that it's really good news for the Braves that they're going to get him back. He's not going to miss any time. They're not going to have to, you know, do anything crazy with this lineup. And, you know, hopefully he can just pick up right where he left off. And sometimes a little break like this might be good for a player. So you never know. But I think it's all good news on the Acuna front.
Hey, Joe, Sam asked me this earlier in the show. I thought it was a really good question. It's hard to answer right now given how well the Braves are playing. But we're about a month away from the trade deadline. If they were going to try to do something, and they always do. I mean, Anthopoulos has a great track record of adding the right pieces. What do you think it is? Like, what's the area where the Braves need to address and get a little stronger over the next month?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's a couple options the Braves could go here. One is the bullpen, and that's something that we see pretty much every contending team do, is just add a reliever or two to bolster that aspect of the team, because you're going to be playing in a lot of close games, especially in the postseason. You want to be really strong in that area where teams that are not in contention are pretty very willing to, you know, dish off that value. So that's something the Braves might look towards. But the reason they might not do that is that you're getting back a fresh and healthy Tyler Matzek. We think he's going to be very good. You're also getting back Mike Soroka, who might be figuring in the bullpen. We don't know exactly how he's going to figure into the pitching staff, but he will be part of this team toward the second half of the season. So that's something the Braves are going to have to figure in. And then Kirby Yates as well, the guy who we don't really ever talk about, but is actually a really good reliever, is also, you know, scheduled to be joining this bullpen sometime here in the near future. So, you know, I think that, you know, the Braves are going to have some players coming back in the second half of the season that are going to feel like trade acquisitions, kind of, especially when you think about factoring how good some of these players are that are coming back. And then I think that leaves open the option at second base. Obviously, Ozzy Albies is going to miss a significant period of time. But again, he's a guy who's going to be coming back at some point, we expect. So that's just a question that Alex Anthopoulos is going to have to consider, which is it worth allocating resources toward that second base position, which is certainly going to be a temporary, you know, position to fill. And, you know, it just is that worth it? I think that, you know, this team has a lot of versatility. We've seen guys like Orlando Arcia and Phil Gosselin step into that role and be suitable. Obviously not like to the level of Ozzy Albies, but, you know, I think what Sam's question really brings up is that, you know, it's kind of a champagne problem that you don't really have obvious holes on this roster.
Spend the time on the waitfor.com hotline with Joe Patrick. Of course, you listen here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's covering Atlanta United, covers Braves this fall, Falcons. But we're talking Braves with him today. Talk about the closing, you know, the back end of the bullpen right now. We're doing it by committee. So far, so good. But how long do we want to go on this way, and you know, before Jansen returns?
Yeah, you know, it's something the Braves are going to have to manage, but I think the good news for them is that these guys that they're going to use in this closing role, Will Smith and A.J. Minter, are both guys who have closed for this team before. I mean, it's kind of hard to remember. A.J. Minter was the team's closer back in 2018, but he's, you know, fulfilled that role, and he's been one of the best relievers in all of baseball this year. So I think you feel really comfortable with him. I think the more interesting situation is with Will Smith, because he, if you just look at the numbers, he's honestly been one of the worst relievers in this Braves bullpen this year, despite the fact that he's on, you know, big money and has big pedigree and was this team's closer when they won a world championship last year, which is very interesting. I was kind of joking. I was watching the game last night with a friend and kind of laughing at the fact that Will Smith had a totally clean inning, you know, once he's relied on to be the closer last night. It's like, oh, yeah, this is no problem. But, like, in some of those other situations, he's really struggled so far this year. But, you know, I think that the Braves, Brian Snicker especially, feels comfortable with either of those guys, and there will probably just alternate. I think that he might rely on Minter a little more because when Kenley has been down at times during the season just because, you know, he's been used 2 games in a row or something, it has been Minter that Brian Snicker has, you know, elected to be the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The fill-in closer. So I think we're more likely to see Minter in those roles, but I think the Braves have to be, they're one of the few teams that is like very capable of filling in for a guy like Jansen in this circumstance. And the good news about Jansen is that it sounds like as soon as he's eligible to come off of the IL, he will be right back into that role. He won't spend any extended time.
Joe, how soon can Eddie Rosario play? 2-part question, because we want to see him. Obviously he's good. And we don't want to see Marcell Ozuna play left field anymore. It's not good for anybody. Him. I mean, he's just out there and embarrassing himself every night. When's Eddie Rosario coming back to save us from this?
Yeah, Eddie Rosario has 20 games to play maximum on his rehabilitation stint. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what Alex Anthopoulos does here, too, because Alex Anthopoulos gave an interview to Dukes and Bell a couple weeks ago or so,
right?
2 or 3 weeks ago, and said that they were going to use the maximum amount of time for Eddie on his rehabilitation stint. I wonder if his opinion there has changed partially in what we've seen from Marcell Ozuna. And, you know, I got to say, the rumors about Ozuna, or not rumors necessarily, but just like people kind of formulating ideas, like do the Braves cut bait with this guy at some point? It's a really weird one. His home run numbers are actually, like, I think he's, like, second on the team in home runs this year, but he's also hitting 225. His OPS is super low, and we've seen him out in the field be an absolute liability. Like, the question for the Braves right now is, like, forget about left field. Do you want this guy as the DH? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. And if he's not, then what is his role? Would the Braves kind of cut bait on this big contract they gave him a couple years ago at any point? I mean, I don't think it's going to happen during the season this year, but I think that it might be something worth considering this offseason. So, you know, Ozuna, hopefully he can get things more consistent. But, yeah, I mean, we don't want to see him out there in left field.
There it is.
It's kind of a – it's fun for other teams to watch, but it's kind of painful for us.
That was the spicy one. It took till the last question, but Joe got us a spicy one.
Yeah, he did.
Cut him. That's what he said. Oh, cut him. Oh. Cut bait. Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick every Monday and Thursday at 1:20. Great stuff, as always. And like Sam said, follow him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. We'll come back and get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. The phone lines are open, 404-741-0929. Call us up, ask us a question, text us or tweet us. There's also some potentially massive college football news that just dropped. We'll let you know what that is on the other side as well. This could be a real landscape-shifting move if this actually happens. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Any question, any topic. We'll get to the phones, the texts, and the tweets in just a minute. But like we mentioned right before we went to break, some potentially huge news in college football. This is according to John Wilner, who's one of the most plugged-in guys as far as West Coast football goes. He's got a source that tells him that USC and UCLA are planning to leave for the Big Ten. USC and UCLA are planning to leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024. This hasn't been finalized yet. This is just a report, but pretty big bombshell there.
That's pretty big because, I mean, who gets to play the Rose Bowl? I guess that's all going out the window because that was the thing.
Big Ten.
You're competing against Big
Ten. They just play themselves, I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what does that look like for that conference?
I don't know. I don't blame them. I mean, probably scared of Washington and their new coach, so they want to leave the Pac-12.
Arizona State.
Also, most people didn't really ever adapt to calling it the Pac-12. They just kept calling it the Pac-10. And it'll just be the Pac-10 again. So if you never made that adjustment, then you don't have to. So, cool.
That's very telling, the fact that they would say that. And considering that's always been such a hotbed for recruiting, the entire West Coast feeds off Southern California high school football. To me, that's a very telling sign that they're thinking of doing that.
Yeah, man. Everybody's trying to get on the ship before their ship sinks. And it just looks more like four super conferences to me. I think the SEC and the Big Ten are flexing their muscle to stay safe, and Big 12, ACC, and Pac-12 are going to have to figure out what they're going to do. There's probably, what would that be, 16 teams, so 32 teams that need to figure it out between however many teams are in those three conferences. You don't want to be in the outside looking in when there's a 64-team super Power Five, whatever you call it, thing. So,
do you think they're just interested in those two teams? I mean, that's the report. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. We'll kind of see how that flushes out. But wouldn't they want to go after a handful more of these Pac-12 teams?
They probably want Oregon and Washington, also, I would guess. And if I'm Oregon and Washington, I'm calling right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're on the phone right now.
Because again, you don't want to be left out in the cold when all this stuff happens.
With Stanford.
Stanford, maybe. Yeah. It sucks. It all sucks. Just do what you're going to do, man. Like, college football needs leadership. They don't have it right now. All these conferences have it. There's no unifying body. Nope. NCAA obviously is not that. Like, are we really going to deal with 5 years of, okay, now Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC, the Big 12 is this with these weird teams. USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12 to go to the Big 10, so that's what this conference is now. Like, just get to where you're going, wherever that is, so we don't have to do this every single year where it's just mayhem.
Well, but Big Ten, to me, recruits markets.
Yep.
I mean, that's why
that's
they have Maryland.
Doing.
That's why they have Rutgers.
That's what they're doing.
This is going to be the Los Angeles market. I could see them going for Stanford to get to San Francisco.
So UCLA and Rutgers are going to play conference games against each other.
You think about that?
Oh, man.
Makes sense.
But will they lose their identity like Maryland and Nebraska have?
probably.
Let's talk about two programs that have totally lost their identity by joining the Big Ten.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're going to – it's all – I mean, regional rivalries and the conferences and all that stuff, it made for pretty good tradition historically.
Well, it used to sell pretty good. It used to sell tickets.
Throw that out the window, I suppose.
Oh, for broadcast rights.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday with all of the – there's so much more money than there's ever been. There's only going to be more money. That is how a lot of decisions are going to be made. I don't really personally care that much about that, like how much money all these people are making.
You're a West Coast guy, though. You're a Pac-12 guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean
– what I want is what's best for the sport, and I don't know that this is it. Maybe it will be down the road. Maybe eventually it will be, but it doesn't feel like it right now.
Sam brought up a good point, broadcast rights, because the Big Ten, I believe, is negotiating as we speak. So yep. The fact that they got L.A. or potentially got L.A., that contract looks a lot different.
Yeah, it does. It does, which, again, is money, and that's what they're angling towards and all that. And that's all great for them. I don't know how this services the college football fan. Maybe it does. Maybe eventually this all is great in the end, but it just kind of feels like – it kind of feels like greed and mayhem to me.
Honestly, if we get those matchups of, you know, if you get a USC Michigan matchup like on that's good for the fan. I mean, in my thought, I know where you're headed at in that direction, but if we get a chance to see more of these power programs play against each other, I think that's what fans ultimately
want.
Yeah,
and if that's where it's going, to where it's 64 teams and it's four conferences of 16 and all of that, and these teams are going to play each other more often, great. Okay. Sign me up. Like, Texas and Georgia playing every other year in the SEC, that's awesome. That's huge. Alabama and Oklahoma playing more often. That's great for the fan. It's just this process of getting there where it's this infighting and conferences and all this stuff playing out publicly. And if that's where you're going to go, then go. Go do it. Like, the Pac-12 being 10 teams for 2 years and not having UCLA and USC but still having a right to bowl games on New Year's 6 contracts and all that stuff, it's just – it's going to be really messy for the next handful of years.
And that's the thing.
It doesn't have to be.
At what point does it get to be a turnoff for the fan when people see that it's so much money driven?
Yeah, I would say it's about money
because when you talk college football,
it is.
You know, it's something that people have the tradition. It's almost like religion with some folks. And now you're messing with it in the name of cash.
Yep.
And you hope people understand and still buy it.
Yeah, you do. You do. You do. Because, you know, again, you're making all this money because of how popular it was. It's popular because of so much of what has happened.
Yep.
If you're taking away a lot of what has happened, will it remain as popular? It's kind of what we talked about yesterday. I mean, I get it. You got to grab the cash while you can, but think about the future of the sport, too. Hopefully it all works out. All right, let's get to a couple AMA callers here. We'll start with Ramir, who's in Brooks County.
What's going on, fellas?
Hi, Ramir.
What's going on, man?
I got a question for Sam. I'm from down south Georgia, from Brooks County, the home of the Trojans.
Bring the hammer, baby. Bring the hammer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know teams down there don't really get, like, a lot of exposure up in North Georgia to, like, the championships or whatnot. But I want to know, I know you'll probably know this, Sam. How good was about off the Wildcats in the heyday?
Oh, in the heyday, they were practically unbeatable. The record speaks for itself. They're not just the kings of Georgia football, but nationally they have the records. And you know, Valdosta has been there for a very long time. The fact that they have trouble getting back to that is why they have a little trouble keeping coaches on staff down that way, because some other teams have come up, Lowndes, obviously, and over in Moultrie with Colquitt County. But y'all right there in the middle at Brooks now, and y'all pretty good, and y'all got state championships. So shout out to Coach Freeman. And I know where the trophy is. It's in the back of his pickup truck.
He said everywhere he goes, he brings the trophy with him.
He does.
Which I can relate to as one who very much likes trophies.
Is Lowndes the one that you see from the highway? It's just right there.
Yep.
It's like, here are all our state championships. Clear as, I mean, it's easier to see than the exit sign and what gas station is coming up. It's so great. They flex pretty hard on it. As they should. So, this was something interesting earlier today that Grant McCauley, our 99 The Game Braves reporter, had on Twitter. What's a restaurant or fast food place that's closed near you or closed altogether that you miss? I'll start with one while you guys are thinking.
But there's a spot if you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it used to exist here. Or you just don't have, like, it might be a trek for you to go to. It might be a couple hours or out of state or not exist altogether.
I went north on 85, go out of town this week, and I passed by a place, and there's one that's right off Old Peach Street that is closed and just sitting there looking lonesome, a place called California Dreaming. Mm-hmm. And the one here is just as closed. I think it was a, I think we call them a pandemic casualty.
Okay.
Yeah,
and one of those. Unfortunately, so many restaurants went that way.
I don't have a great answer for the restaurant or the chain or anything like that, but I will say every bar that's ever been my favorite bar in all the cities that I've ever lived in, they all got closed down.
Whoa.
Every single one of them. I tend to kind of like dumpy bars, but all these bars that I spent all this time going to, they've all been torn down and replaced with condos in a lot of instances, which is a huge bummer. I don't know. I can't think of a good answer to that question. I don't have a chain.
The only one that came to mind for me, I think they exist in Georgia in certain places. I'm sure they do, but Sonic, there used to be a bunch of Sonics around.
Yeah,
I like Sonic in general. I just think there's lots of options.
If you want to find a Sonic, drive to Dollywood in Tennessee. And they're everywhere.
Oh, that's the spot? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A couple hours away.
Yeah.
I also just need like more Bojangles in the actual like metro area.
Really?
Outside. Yeah, I like Bojangles.
Oh, you don't like Bojangles?
Oh, Popeyes.
Well, no, I like Bojangles for breakfast. I like Popeyes for the rest of the day.
Bojangles breakfast.
Yeah, Bojangles breakfast is where it's at. Yeah, but Popeyes for lunch and dinner.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Elite hangover breakfast.
Oh yeah.
Bojangles.
That'll cure it for sure.
Or Bohangalies.
For
those who like to get fancy. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day, every day to wrap up the show. We'll start with Sam.
Okay, a strike up boys to men. Brian, sad to see Gallo go.
Yeah, Gallinari with a classy goodbye to Hawks fans. And, man, nice little run. Two good years here. Eastern Conference Finals, and then he gets dealt for DeJounte Murray. Not bad. Sam Crenshaw taught me today that Rafael Nadal is a big wedgie picker. Watching the Nadal match. A lot of wedgie picking going on.
Going to miss you, Gallo. I mean, hopefully you'll make it back one day. I have faith that maybe in 2 years he'll be in a Hawks uniform again. And this was just a phrase that was said during the show. Andy and Sam are rocking the suburbs.
Rocking the suburbs.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. It'll be a happy hour Friday. Sam will be back with us for one final day. Have a great rest of your Thursday.
Watch out now!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.